What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Andrew Gunling is such a psychopath.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Just horse. You're right, it was Nom. I gotta give a closer look to Peter's region.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
And ENN tonight is brought to you by Sloman's. Andrew Gunling in for Peter Rosenberg on a Friday heading into Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer. And let's start out by saying hello to both Michael and Don.
I made that part up. He didn't take a swing.
I know you made it up, Michael.
Let's say hello to Michael.
We have Ranger tickets we're giving away. We have Buck Showalter we're giving away.
And say hello to Don as well.
Fix the hole in the boat.
All right. We start ENN tonight, guys, with the Golden State Warriors. They're going back to the NBA Finals. They become the first team to reach six finals in 8 years since Jordan's Bulls. Can I ask you a trivia question?
Sure.
Okay. Only three coaches have made it to more NBA Finals than Steve Kerr. Can you name them?
Phil Jackson.
That's right.
Pat Riley.
That's right.
Red Auerbach.
That is right. Three for three.
Bing. How about that, Don, huh?
Listen, I would have done the same thing.
Well, we'll
those are
know.
The three obvious answers.
I don't think you would have gotten.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think you've gotten.
What do you think, Andrew?
I'd like to think that you could have. Those are probably the three biggest names in coaching. So I believe that you would have. Steph Curry named as the inaugural Western Conference Finals MVP. It was a big night for Klay Thompson as well. 32 points for him in the win. Klay spoke after the game. He was asked about how this trip to the finals without Durant impacts the Warriors' legacy.
Well, I don't think it's, first off, I don't think it's us and KD. When Kevin was here, I mean, we were like an unstoppable force. And I think now we have to be more meticulous, obviously, with our offense and our defense because we don't have as much leeway without him. But we're happy to be here, but it would help our legacy a lot if we completed the mission and won the whole thing. So we can be happy tonight, and we will be. I'll celebrate tonight, but tomorrow when that game six comes on, I'm turning the page and I'm scouting because we want to finish this thing off the right way and do it for Dub Nation.
I don't understand one thing, Andrew. Help me out.
Sure.
They won a championship without Kevin Durant. So what does their legacy need burnishing for? Yeah. They won one without him.
Besides, he's shimmying in at Buffalo Wild Wings. We know he's prepared.
Who, Klay?
Yeah.
That's right. yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I feel like it could provide some kind of sort of exclamation point on this era. Because what is it, Don, is it you that say, you know, a lot of teams have one title, but it's when you get into that multiple title range that you kind of become more of a forever team? Now, they have three, but maybe those two with Durant in some way, in some people's minds, taint the value of those championships a little bit. So if they can kind of bookend this era with another one without Durant, I do think that there will be some people that will look at them a little bit differently.
It could put more of a challenge on Durant that they won one without him. Because they did win one without him before, then they won two with him, and now without him, they still could win one. I think they will. So Kevin Durant, kind of pressure on him to win.
Yeah, but you're talking about, you know, it's a different era, right? I mean, it's a lot of the same players, but this is a different team, a different vibe than when they, before they had Durant, while they had Durant, and then they come back from the injuries, and to do it before, during, and after, that would be pretty significant.
Yeah, and it probably vaults the Steph, Klay, Draymond trio into one of the all-time great trios, I would think.
Yeah.
They could know as soon as tonight who their opponent's going to be. The Celtics look to close out the Heat in Boston. You can hear that game here on 98.7 at 8:30 following Anita Marks. Last I checked, Tyler Hero, still a game-time decision. He's missed the last two, so we'll see what happens there. Staying with last night's Warriors game for a sec, not really the game so much, but after the game. So have you guys been following it all? Charles Barkley's back and forth with Golden State Warriors fans.
Yes.
He picked the Mavs to win before the series started. The Inside the NBA crew on TNT has had their set outside the arena among the fans. Warriors fans have been relentless to him. And then last night after the game, some of them started throwing T-shirts at him, other objects. It wasn't totally clear. Here's what it sounded like.
How would you best? No. Hey. Yo, they throwing stuff up here. Hey. Chuck, sit down, man.
No.
Come on, Chuck.
Sit down, Chuck.
We will be back.
You're asking for trouble. I've always said it, having these outdoor things with fans there. You're asking for trouble. We're living in a society that is not that decorous, okay? No. They will cross the line. I don't get it. I don't see how it makes the broadcast better.
I don't.
The only place it really works, Don, is with the college show on ESPN, and I still don't even like it there.
I know, but they're trying to accomplish something there. You know, exposing that particular fan base and making it like the theme of that broadcast. But all these teams are doing it. They're all doing it now locally. Like after the game, let's do it amongst the fans, and then it ends up being some yo-yo trying to get his 15 minutes, or they can't hear each other, or the crowd screaming and chanting something offensive. It can't help the ratings at all. It hurts the broadcast. It's cringeworthy most of the time. I don't know why it's done, but they must do the marketing to say that it's something that has to happen, but I don't find it enjoyable at all.
You know when they'll stop? When somebody gets really hurt. That's when they'll stop. So why not do it before somebody gets really hurt?
Either of you ever been in one of those, in those situations, like with a visiting fan base that knows you're with the other team, that's just relentless?
Well, yeah. I don't know if Michael remembers this. 2009, Yankees-Phillies. We had Seth Everett on as a guest at the dugout across from Yankee Stadium. And Seth predicted that the Yankees were going to lose the game that day, but they were going to win the series. But the people there, I don't know if you remember this, Michael, like heard him say the Yankees are going to lose, and that people got closer to the stage and they started, nothing too bad, but like started throwing stuff. And I remember like Seth had to get escorted out of the place. Like I thought they were going to riot.
Well, Andrew remembers. He was one of those people storming the stage.
No. I remember that story, though. I was actually back in studio. Yeah, I remember I don't want to say there was fear in his voice, but I remember him kind of like nervously laughing as we went to break.
Well, listen, we did a great job diffusing it. But imagine if, like, if I said that, and then for the next hour I've got a broadcast, and I wasn't going to get escorted out. Like, he was a guest, he was nice, and he was covering the series for us, and the Yankees were home. He said they were going to win the series anyway, but the fans, you know, it's at a bar, so a few of them had something to drink, and it's all in fun, but you get enough people in unison. And that was before we were on television or anything, but you know that was the one time. The other time was an ill-advised Ranger post-game show that I did at Brother Jimmy's across the street from the Ranger from Madison
there.
Square Garden, and the salesperson neglected to tell me or didn't know that Brother Jimmy's on that particular day, it was a big SEC bar, and Florida State was playing like Auburn or something, and in a basketball game, and everybody was there to watch that game, and they turned the TVs down so they can hear me do my Ranger post game, and people were throwing bottles of beer at me.
Oh my God.
And they finally had to, I quickly wrapped up the post game and got out of there.
Now, the closest I've come is that on the post game, or the postseason, where I do the post games for Yes, you're on the field. So it all depends on whether or not the visiting or the home team clears their, stadium in a hurry. But if they're down there where you're doing the screaming and cursing, I mean, I got cursed at and screamed at and threatened in Cleveland. That was in 97. Texas, they've done it. I mean, it's not a good combination. Whoever thinks it's a good combination of mixed fans and live TV, you see what happened to the woman that was reporting on gun violence? A guy came up to her and pulled the gun on her on TV yesterday. So let's keep doing that until somebody really gets hurt. Then we'll stop.
Yeah, and it'll stop dead. So why not just do it? Because you know what's going to happen. Listen, it's all fun. I know you want to be there. I get it. But, like, amongst the fans, and like I said, most of the time it's harmless, but you're presenting an opportunity for a lot of people because it's on camera to be disruptive after a game. People already, liquored up. Maybe they don't mean to have something happen, but it ends up escalating into something that does happen.
Yeah, it can be very fun, though. I mean, I went to, when I was in college at Syracuse, College Game Day came twice for basketball games. And it was a big deal on campus. Like, there was a buzz about it. It was very fun. It was, you know, a thing that I remember fondly.
But the thing is that when that happens, it's usually to promote your school and your fan base and your team. So there's goodwill around it. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing a post game and it's in front of fans and the team lost, or it could be in a venue where there could be opposition fans, like what happened with Barkley, or it could be a recipe for a very awkward situation.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a different look for Barkley. Like, at first, you couldn't tell if he was kidding or not because he was not facing the camera. He's turned around. He gets up out of his seat. He's facing the crowd, and he's kind of motioning towards them. And just the character that he is, you thought maybe he was just joking around. But I think the tone in Kenny and Ernie's voices let you know that he was not kidding. He was pretty ticked.
Well, did you hear what he said earlier in the series? He was there, and they were all over him, and he turned around. We can't say exactly what he said, but only Barkley could get away with this and not get fired. He turned around and he said, "Hey, I'm going to date your moms." Mm-hmm. They weren't on the air at that point, but he didn't say date. He said a really great date with their moms.
Right. Yeah. So he was kind of in battle with that.
Netflix
with those fans
and
all
chill
throughout.
With your mom.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, with the Mavs now out of it, a lot of attention and Knicks fan attention is going to turn towards Jalen Brunson and his upcoming free agency. Now, I don't know if the Knicks are even going to be able to make this happen financially. That might be a stretch. But then to hear Mark Cuban talk more about it afterwards last night with Mark Stein, it sounds like it might be even more of a stretch. Here was Cuban on Bally Sports Southwest.
How confident are you about being able to retain Jalen Brunson as part of this team?
We can pay him more than anybody, you know, and I think he wants to stay, and that's most important. You know, I think, again, J. Kidd has a big part to play in that. You know, I think JB blossomed as a player as much as anybody on the squad. I mean, you know, from where he was last year to how far he came this year is a tribute to Jalen and how hard he worked.
I will tell you this, the Knicks don't have any salary cap space, so it'd have to be a sign and trade, and everybody seems to think that they can make it work with Mitchell Robinson because Dallas needs a big man. It can't work. It just doesn't work numbers-wise. People have crunched the numbers. It cannot work because both of them are not first-round draft picks.
Yeah, so, I saw Bobby Marks saying that.
Yeah, can't be done. So, Knicks fans that want to draft, I mean, would Dallas want Julius Randle? I don't know. I guess that's one way the number could work, but I just don't see the Knicks getting them.
Or a third team would have to be involved that would be willing to take on one of those kinds of players if they're in some kind of rebuild. But, yeah, it does. It sounds like the Mavs are willing to go the distance to make sure he stays there. So it's going to be tough.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Rangers, of course, lost last night. They're going to look to keep their season alive tomorrow at the Garden. Still one more chance to win tickets to that game, by the way, coming up sometime between now and the end of the show at 888-987.
That's right.
ESPN.
Come on, wake up, people.
But not yet.
But not yet.
No.
Not yet. Sometime between now and the end of the show. But the loss last night, but let's try and get some good vibes going for the Rangers. This day, back in 1994.
Kachisov for the Devils, plays it cross ice into the far corner. Matteau swoops in to intercept. Matteau behind the net, swings it in front. He scores! Matteau! Defend Matteau! And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby! But it's Mark Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
What a call.
The relationship he still has with Matteau is amazing.
Yeah, they're friends. It's great.
Matteau was in a Met game the other day, and they took a picture together, which is awesome. And I read Howie's book. And I don't know if you know this story, Michael, and you could appreciate this as a play-by-play guy. All right, so he makes this epic call in this epic game. Rangers are going to the final. If you look at the replay, it's not a it's not a guaranteed foregone conclusion that Mateau is going to get credit for the goal. And there was some thought and talk that did it go off of Esa Tiikkanen, and could it be credited to Tiikkanen? And so Howie started to like have like doubts, like, oh my God, what if I did that and it's not Mateau? But it turned out to be Mateau, but how nervous he was.
Wow, and can you
walking
imagine?
Out of the garden and like, oh my God, can you imagine if I ended up? And it wouldn't have been a blown call, but there were other announcers that weren't 100% sure because they were scattered all over the place. That was, I don't want to say the old garden, but before it was reimagined, where you were down low. And he happened to be on the side where the goal was scored, so he saw it better. But I remember Mike Miller, the Devils announcer, was like farther away, so he couldn't tell. So imagine if they had given credit to Tiikkanen and not Mateau, and
Don,
how bad
see,
how he would have felt. Instead, he absolutely nailed it.
Can you see a puck go in, or you watch on a monitor? Can you see it with the naked eye? Because you guys are really high.
No, I could see it.
Uh huh.
You know, sometimes. But sometimes it goes out so quick, and you have to rely on the light. But sometimes the light doesn't go on, or sometimes the light goes on when it's not supposed to go on.
Wow.
And there's little things.
It's the hardest sport to call. I'm convinced.
How do the players react? Like, I've learned that little cheat codes doing it off the monitor, okay? How do the fans behind the goal react? How does the player react? You know, little things, but sometimes you do get fooled that you think it went in and it didn't, or you know it went in and they didn't put the light on. So sometimes you get fooled a little bit. But
the ultimate one, Don, was was in 2010 when Patrick Kane won the Stanley Cup on a goal that only he saw go in. No light went on, no players reacted, and all of a sudden he's sprinting down the ice celebrating. No one had any idea what happened.
I was in the building for that, okay? And I don't know if you remember it, Michael. He scores the goal. It's a wraparound. No one knows it went in. None of the announcers knew, although I do think the Blackhawk announcer, John Weideman, did have it. But I remember when everything was stopped, and then I see Kane going center ice, starting, like, stripping his gloves and his helmet. And my first reaction, like, was he being attacked by bees? Like, I didn't think there was any goal, and he was the only one reacting to it. So I'm like, what's happening? Is something wrong with him? Is he having a stroke? And then finally everybody started to kind of figure out that he scored the goal. It was one of the craziest – I think it's the craziest finish to a championship that I could ever remember.
Insane, yeah, insane. Meanwhile, in the NHL out west, the battle of Alberta was settled last night as Edmonton topped the Flames in overtime. Here is what it sounded like on CHED Oilers radio.
Stepping up Nurse at center ice, and he'll dump it softly to the far corner where Hanifin's first on it. McDavid created a turnover for Draisaitl inside. McDavid, his shot scores! Connor McDavid has won the battle of Alberta for Edmonton! 5-4 in overtime.
That is my friend Jack Michaels. Love that guy.
Wow. Connor McDavid, 12 points in 5 games. Sounds like a lot.
No.
It is. Until you see that his own teammate, Leon Draisaitl, finished with 17 points in the series. That ties Boston's Rick Middleton in 1983 for the most through 5 games in any playoff series all time. Draisaitl had 15 assists in the series. That broke Middleton's record, which he shared with Wayne Gretzky. And he did it in 5 games.
Did you see the McDavid overtime goal?
Yeah.
You see the flick of his wrist and the net bend. Like, that's how quick it was off of his stick. Colorado, I think, is going to win against St. Louis. And then to get McKinnon versus Draisaitl and McDavid, it's going to be fun.
I mean, I know you're neutral in this, but it's kind of what you've been saying all along, how good for the sport it would be to get the best players playing on this stage. It'd be great. And by the way, just to bring it all full circle, so the Oilers have 52 goals so far this postseason. That's the most through 12 playoff games since?
I'll say the 87 Oilers.
The 94 Rangers.
Oh, look at that.
That's right.
Yeah, because
full circle.
They destroyed the Islanders and the Capitals in the first 2 rounds that year.
Yeah. Let's see. Don, James Worthy had some interesting things to say about today's NBA players. He was on 97.1 The Ticket, talking about players skipping college and going to the NBA. He said, I mean, Kareem had 4 years with John Wooden. Michael Jordan and I had 3 years with Dean Smith. Isaiah Thomas had some years with Bobby Knight. So you learn the fundamentals. Guys are coming to the NBA who are not fundamentally sound. All they do is practice threes, lift weights, get tattoos, tweet, and go on social media. That's it. What do you think? Is this an example of old man yells at cloud, or do you actually agree with some of what he's saying here?
No, so I definitely agree with some of what he said. Mm-hmm. Then it became old man shouting at cloud when he started to go about social media and the tattoos. He just took it too far. He became an old man like halfway through that.
Right. He started as a young man, and it went on long enough.
But right. Aged. I mean, there were some valid things he was saying.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. It seemed like Kevin Durant kind of agreed with him. So Kevin Durant saw that on Twitter and responded to it. He said, because part of that was all they do is shoot threes. Durant said, my middie, his mid-game shot, is sharp, but James is right. This ain't the old days, LOL. So, yeah, there's a little – there might be something to what he said there.
Yeah, but games evolve. It hasn't hurt the sport at all. I think some of the old-timey guys get upset that it's not like it used to be, but you can't say it's hurt the NBA at all. These games, for the most part, have been god-awful to watch and non-competitive, and yet the ratings are still good.
Yeah, but that's – I mean, yes, I guess that's good that the ratings are good, but it's not great, though. It's not going to leave a positive taste in a lot of people's mouths if what they just spent the last 2 weeks watching in these conference finals was what it is.
No, that's going to happen, and I think it'll all be forgotten if it ends up being Celtics Warriors and it goes seven and each game is classic. We'll forget all about.
Definitely.
You know, but if it ends up being a bad final, not all the playoffs are going to be spectacular. But like I said, even for games that were complete blowouts, there's still 7-8 million people watching. I think the NBA has become a habit for a lot of people. They watch the postseason, and it hasn't really, I think, hurt the product. I don't know. Heyday of the NBA strong, but you can't say the NBA is hurting. I mean, I think in most of this country, it's the second most popular sport. It's relevant as heck. So there's no downturn for this sport right now.
No, certainly not. One more for you here, yes. Don. The NFL coaching carousel went around again this year without Eric Bieniemy landing a job. Now, year after year, given how great the Chiefs' offense is, this leaves a lot of people routinely scratching their heads. But recently, LeSean McCoy, who played one season in Kansas City, he went on the I Am Athlete podcast and said this. He said, there's a reason why every year they hype him up to get a job, and then when the time comes, nobody hires him, because they know the type of coach he really is. McCoy went on to say that Bieniemy was the reason he stopped playing for the Chiefs and was critical of the way Bieniemy talks to players. Then yesterday, Andy Reid responded, saying, sometimes it's hard on a veteran player. Maybe their performance level isn't what it used to be, talking about McCoy, and it's hard to take that sometimes. But Bieniemy is going to push you to try to maximize what you've got. That's one of his strengths. He'll come in and shoot you straight. Sometimes you want to hear it. Sometimes you don't. And it's interesting because Andy Reid is kind of the one who brought LeSean McCoy in to Kansas City from their time together with the Eagles. He went on to support him a little bit, but he clearly disagreed with what McCoy was saying. But it's one of the few times you ever really hear, everything you hear when Bieniemy doesn't get a job is, why does this keep happening? It's one of the first times I've heard a player come out and said that it kind of makes sense to him why it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and it also hurts that he's on a team that's got a great quarterback, a great offensive mind as the head coach. So it's, I guess, easy to explain away the success away from him. But there has to be other reasons. I know certainly race is going to be the one that gets brought up all the time, but it's not like there haven't been other African-Americans that have hopped over him as candidates, so there might be something else, and it sounds like there could be.
Yeah, because it is on the surface, it's strange,
right.
And it leaves you thinking, well, there has to be a reason. Doug Peterson was the coordinator there. He got a job. Who was it that I'm forgetting from the Bears? The Bears' former coach, who has since lost his job, came from the Chiefs and got a head coaching job. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a strange one, but I thought
it's probably nothing awful enough for him to lose his job as offensive coordinator. But, you know, when you get hired as a head coach, it's a different animal, right? It's a completely different thing. Communication with players. And maybe it's just there's an issue there where they just believe as a head coach it wouldn't work out. and he hasn't gotten the opportunity. But it's helped Kansas City, because I'm sure they're still happy to have him.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure they are. That'll do it for ENN. Brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman's Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME.
Well, we got a big weekend. Rangers still trying to survive. They're still alive. I know you don't feel great about them right now, but they got a home game tomorrow, a chance to force a game 7 on Monday. Yankees hot. Mets look like they're going to get their game in against Philadelphia. 1-800-919-3776. Hanging out with you here on the Michael K. Show till 7, right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. And yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.